Good morning, everyone. So yesterday we were discussing this case study, but we could not complete it. So let's complete it before we move to the next topic. We did partially. So we identified three of the entities and two relationship. Please remember that this is a weak entity type because we don't have a primary key here. Although there is an alternative, as some of you suggested last time, we can have a pet identification also. And in that case, it will be strong entity. And in that case, this relationship will not be identifying. It will be a normal relationship like this. But whenever we have a weak entity type, where we don't have the primary key, but instead we have the partial primary key, then for such type of entity types, we need to have an owner entity type because they cannot exist. Their existence depends on some other entity type. And in this case, the existence of pets in the vet hospital depends on the existence of the customer. They cannot come on their own. Somebody has to bring them. So that's why this relationship is special because it shows us that the existence of pets depends on customer. Although that weak entity also has a relationship with another strong entity, but this is a normal relationship. This is not identifying because this is not the owner entity type for this, whereas this is the owner entity type for this. Now let's move forward. This is what we already did yesterday. Okay, so we were somewhere here. We did all these lines we already converted into conceptual model. Please read this line, the last two lines of paragraph 2. In addition, for each pet, a history of the visit to the doctor is kept. For each visit, the date, type of service offered, additional comments and payment amount is recorded. How we are going to represent it? So pets are visiting doctors. And for each of this visit, we are storing some information. What's the date of visit? What is the type of the service offered? Some additional comments. And what is the total payment related with that visit? Yeah? There is a thing that you can make a separate entity here with all that attribute, but then again there will be question about what will be the key there. So there is no identifying, there is no attribute which can make up the key there. So that option, in my opinion, but you can choose another one. I'll prefer to have this information as relationship attribute because these pets are visiting the doctors and we have a visit relationship. So we can have all this for each visit we are storing some information. So for every pet doctor combination visit, we can have the date of the visit. What else is there? Service offered, some comments. Some comments. And the payment amount. So this is the way we can store this information. Then what else is left? We already did the detailed record about the doctors working in the hospital, etc., etc. We have already done that. Let's come to the second last or third last paragraph. The hospital also has a pharmacy where the customers can buy the medications. For every item in the inventory or in the pharmacy, the following information is recorded, like item identification number, the name, description, price, quantity on hand, and safety stock level. So again, because we are describing something with many, many attributes, it's a sign of an entity type. So we can have medications like medication entity, or we can call it item. It depends on you, because there may be some other items except in addition to medications. So we have item identification, which will be our primary key. What else is there? Name, description, price, quantity on hand. Name, description, price, quantity on hand. Sorry, it's going down and down. And the last is safety stock level. So this is our one more entity type. And if you see the first line of this paragraph, it is saying the hospital has a pharmacy where the customer buys these items or medication. What does it specify? How we will translate this line here? Anyone? So customer are buying these items or medication. So obviously there is a relationship here. It's a normal relationship, not an identifying one, right? And finally, see here, after visiting a pet, the doctor writes a prescription which includes the description of the symptoms, medications, and the quantity of the medication recommended by the doctor. Anyone, how can we represent that second last paragraph? So doctor is writing prescription for the pets, including the medications or items. Can anyone suggest how can we represent it? Yeah. Okay. So is that enough? So this is the prescription, right? Or the doctor prescribes these medication to whom? We have to connect with pet also, right? And there is one more thing, quantity of each medication. Where will it go? So a doctor is writing to a particular pet maybe 3 medications, and the quantities may be different for each of those medications. It's a relationship attribute. Right? So we have a relationship attribute. So doctors are prescribing to these pets different medications, and we are also storing the quantity of each medication prescribed. All right. Now, more or less, we found out all the entity types and relationship types, but there is still some information missing. Can you suggest what is missing? We need to fill the cardinalities and the participation, right? For every relationship. So what about this has? Can you suggest the cardinality and participation, mix, max, min, max for both sides? Anyone? Just try, even if it is wrong, it doesn't matter. We can figure out the correct one together. Yeah? Okay. So a customer has minimum one and maximum many pets, right? It cannot be zero because they are the customers of the vet hospital. So they must have a vet, they must have a pet. What about the left-hand side? A particular pet belongs to minimum how many and maximum how many customers? A particular pet will belong to, right? So participation of both, it is a one-to-many relationship because this is here given, one-to-many, and the participation of both is total. Yeah. If you are taking that assumptions that many customer can bring the same pet during different visits, then there are more than one owner. And in that case, it will be one to many. Right? So it depends on the assumption. So in that case, it will be then many to many, and the participation of both entity type is total. So you have to write your assumptions. That is very important. Okay. What about this visit? Anyone? A pet can visit minimum one and maximum minimum one. Is there a possibility that pet come to the hospital but doesn't visit a doctor? I'm not sure. I don't know. I never had a pet. Maybe you people know better. Can you take, yeah? Then it will be registered in the system and still not visiting. That visit is not counted, right? If you are just visiting the... Or maybe for vaccination, you don't need to go to a doctor. Maybe some nurses can... I don't know. You tell me. It should be one too many, minimum one and many, or zero and many. Yeah. And a doctor is visited by minimum and maximum. Maximum is many, that is clear. What about here? Can there be a doctor who is not looking after the pets and still be the doctor of the veterinary hospital doing some other jobs? Is it possible? They are administrator kind of, maybe, I don't know. Yeah, something like that. So in that case, that doctor's responsibility is not to look after the pets. So it can be, right? Again, it's according to my assumptions. So it's again many to many, and both entities have partial participation. Not all doctors are visited, that's why it is zero. Not all pets visits the doctor who come into the hospital. Again, here it is partial. Okay. What about buys? A customer can buy minimum how many and maximum how many medication? Maximum is still easy to find, many. What about the first part? It's possibility. You are not required to buy at the pharmacy in the hospital. You can buy outside, or sometimes for some of the visits, maybe it's not needed. A particular item can be bought by minimum how many, and maximum is again easy to find. Okay, so here, for a doctor-pet combination, how many medications we are prescribing? The doctor is prescribing. Many? Zero too many. And here, we are taking these two as constant, and then we are finding the cardinalities for there. All right, so this is this looks like the solution of this data requirements according to our assumptions. Let me take a photo so that I can post for those students who didn't attend. Because with the camera, it's not readable. Okay. Yeah. Now we can move to the next topic, which is EER modeling. So let's refresh what we have done so far. Yeah. It can be part. You can write the comments at the same page. There is a way in Visio you can connect those comments. It's better to have on the same page, connected, because otherwise if it is on a separate page, then it may be difficult for you also later on when you want to revisit your own diagram. Alright, so let's recall what we have studied in the ER modeling before we study some additional constructs which comes under EER, enhanced or extended ER modeling. So when we have the data requirements, we start with the entity types. We try to identify entity type, relationship types, their attributes, the different types of attribute. If there are some relationship attributes also, we identify them as well. If there are weak entity or recursive relations, relation types, we identify them as well. The relationship can be binary, ternary, or a degree of higher than 3 as well. But we don't prefer to have relationship types of degree higher than 3. Okay, so then what are the additional constructs we can use in our conceptual diagram? That comes under extended ER modeling. Some additional constructs we can include in our conceptual model. And these are some additional concepts, we just talked about it, are added into the original ER model, and it is called enhanced or extended entity relationship model. The main important is specialization and generalization, where an entity type can be divided into many sub-entity type. So we will have a super entity or super class. Those who are familiar with object-oriented programming, it is something like inheritance. So you have a superclass, you have a subclass. So let's see one example. And then we need to, just like in the relationship, we specify the cardinalities and total partial. Similarly, with these specialization or generalization, we have to specify whether it is mandatory or optional, or whether it is distinct or overlapping. So let's first see some example. For example, this is our one entity. We are showing it here in the form of relation, and it gives us details about all the staff. Now you can see that initial 4 attributes here: staff name, position, salary. It is common for all the staffs, whoever they are, whatever job they are working on. But there are some which are only applicable for those staff members who are managers. And that's why, see, in the other rows or tuples, there is no value. The value is actually null, because these are not the staff members who are managers. Similarly, the next two, it is more applicable for the staff members who are salesmen or the salespersons. And that's why they have the value for these two attributes and others don't have the value of those attributes. And the last one is related with those staff members who are doing the job as secretary. So instead of having, because it will give rise to so many null values, right? Because those two are not only applicable for manager. These two are only applicable for the salesperson. And this is only applicable for the persons who are working as secretary. So instead of having a single entity type, it is possible to divide this entity into many sub-entity types or sub-classes. And we can come up with something like this. Just pay attention to this part. So the staff is, we have made a specialization. This is the symbol of specialization. We will talk about this in a moment. Let's not pay attention to this for now. And we have made three subgroupings or subclasses. So basically it is a kind of relationship. So manager is a type of staff, sales personnel is a type of staff, and secretary is also a type of staff. And all these subclasses inherit all the data and operations of the, we are not talking about operations here, but if we talk in terms of object oriented, then there will be operations also. And each of these subclasses have some attribute of its own, which is only applicable for that subclass. Plus, it inherits all the members, data members from the superclass also. So this is a specialization. If we see from the top-down perspective, it is a specialization because we are trying to find the differentiating characteristics between staff members, and based on those differentiating characteristics, we are making the subclasses. And that differentiating characteristic is the job type, what kind of job they are doing. And based on that, we are creating the subclasses. If we see bottom-up approach, then this is called generalization. So basically, it is the same thing where you are looking at. So top-down, it is called specialization. You find some distinct characteristics among all the staff members and you are making subclasses based on these differentiating characteristics. Or if we see the bottom-up approach, we see that there are many common things between all these three subclasses because in the end they are all staff members. So we make a superclass by having the general things between these subclasses, and that is called generalization. So anything you can do, start with the common superclass and make the subclasses, or you have already made the subclasses and later on you realize that there are some common factors between them and you can make a superclass. And this is the symbol. Yesterday we were talking about using the Microsoft Visio, and if you use the data diagram, there are two options. You can use the class diagram or the data diagram. In the data diagram, you may not find this symbol. But in the class diagram, you have all the symbols. So this is specialization. Now with every specialization, we need to specify few things. What are those things? Let's see those. So just see the last two points. A superclass may contain overlapping or distinct subclasses. Not all members of a superclass need to be a member of a subclass. Now, let's revisit the diagram with this additional information. So here, see here, we have written here optional. What does it mean? That all the staff member, this is the group of all the staff member. Not everyone, every staff member has to be part of one of the subclass. It's optional. The membership is optional to a subclass. So you will find some staff members here who are here in the super class but not part of any of the subclass. So there may be some other type of jobs staffs are doing who are neither manager nor sole personal nor secretaries. So there may be suppose 100 and maybe 10 of them are managers and maybe 10 of them are salesperson and there are 10-15 secretaries, but there are still some staff members who are working something else, who are working on the job title of something else. So not all are part of one of the subclass. And the second part is and, which means a staff member can be member of more than one subclass. So a particular staff can be, for example, manager and salesperson at the same time. So that's why we are saying here there are other options also which we will just discuss. So let's see here. We have staff. Again, we can have many specializations from the same superclass. Like here, we make the subclasses based on the job type. Right? And from the same staff, we made another specialization based on the type of contract they have. So all the staff members, we can divide it into two subclasses. That is full-time employee who are permanent employees and there are some who are contractual or part-time employee. And see here, this is the common attributes which applies to everyone, whether they are the member of only the superclass or any of the subclass. So each of the staff members, whether they are full-time or part-time, they have their identification, name and age. Full-time members additionally have salary and number of holidays per year. So these are the attributes that is only, those are only applicable for full-time staff. And similarly, for the part-time staff, we have some specific attribute like hourly rate or what kind of contract they have. But in the end, the part-time employees have five attributes. Three which is inherited from the superclass and two which are of its own. And similarly, full-time also have five attributes. Three inherited from the superclass and two which are with the superclass only. Right? Now, let's see. Now, in the end, the entity 1.3.2, how many attributes it will have? So there can be a hierarchy of specialization. We can find many examples where it is possible to have a superclass, then many subclasses, and one of the subclasses again a superclass of many subclasses. So this kind of hierarchy can exist in your conceptual diagram. And in the end, the entity 1.3.2 will have, it has its attribute, that is L. It is inheriting from the direct parent, I and J, and it is also inheriting from the indirect parent, ABC. So in the end, it has six attributes of its own, right? Five of them inherited and one specific to this subclass. Now, can you see this example? There is a problem here. And can you see what can be the problem among four of these? So we have three common attributes. Then full-time employee have salary and gender and part-time has hourly rate and gender. Gender, whatever is the common attribute applicable for all the subclasses should be in the superclass, right? And as I said before, it just depends on your perspective. If you are taking top down, it's called specialization. If you are taking bottom up, then it is called generalization. Can you suggest what can be the problem here? As I told you before, there is a kind of relationship between the superclass is a type of. Between the superclass and subclass, that relationship should exist. Does it exist here? For this part, it's fine. Full-time employee is a type of staff, or full-time staff is a type of staff. But this is not a subclass of staff. It is, maybe it can be the subclass of a vehicle, superclass, but definitely not for the staff. As I said before, from the same superclass, we can have multiple specialization. So again, we saw these examples before. One is based on the job type or job title, and this one is based on the type of what kind of contract they have. Now let's talk about this optional and mandatory or the different combination we can write and what is the difference between them. So basically, with every specialization, you have to specify two things: participation, whether it is mandatory or optional, which determines whether every member in the superclass must participate as a member of a subclass. If it is must, then it is mandatory. If it is maybe, they may participate in one of the superclass, then it is optional. Right? So must is mandatory, maybe is optional. And then another thing we need to specify, that is disjoint constraint, describes relationship between the member of the subclasses and indicates whether member of a superclass can be a member of one or more than one subclass. If a member of a superclass can be member of only one subclass, then it is called disjoint. If the member of the superclass can be member of more than one subclass, then it is called overlapping. Right? So in the end, we have these. So mandatory means a superclass member must be a member of one of the subclass. Optional means a superclass member need not be a member of any subclass. Disjoint, when a superclass member is a member of only one subclass. Overlapping or non-disjoint, which we specify with and disjoint is specified with or. A superclass, in case of overlapping, a superclass member may be member of more than one subclass, also called overlapping. So we can have all these possible combination: mandatory or mandatory and, optional or optional and. And these are some of the examples. A student is a bachelor student. Let's see here. So see the top one, there are users in university maybe, and we are dividing into two subclasses. Here the attributes are not shown, and it is mandatory and. That means every user has to be part of, every user is either a student or a staff. You cannot find a user who is neither of them. Right? None of them. So it is mandatory. And then we are saying and. That means a user can be a student at the same time a staff. So that's why it is and. So it is overlapping. So if there are 100 users, all of them should be either here or maybe in both. Because it is and. And here see, this is mandatory or. That means every student who is present here should be part of at least one of the subclass. And this is or it specified that a student can be either bachelor student or master student or PhD student. It cannot be more than one at the same time. This is optional, and which specifies that a staff member can be maybe a researcher or a lecturer. It is and, that means a staff member can be part of both the subclasses. And finally, it is optional or, which we have already seen. Actually, it shouldn't be optional. It should be, there is a possibility. So there may be staff members who are permanent or contractual. Can you find any other type of staff? Because it is saying optional. So there are some staff member who are neither permanent nor contractual, but still a staff member. Maybe some visiting staff members. They may be considered as a third category. So it is optional. Not all staff members are part of any of these subclasses. It is or, that means a staff member can be part of only one of the subclass. So these are the examples here. Can we take our own example? Do you have elective courses and must courses, what it is called here? Compulsory, must. So we have courses and we have course code and we have course name. Maybe the credit. What kind of specialization it is? Is it mandatory or is it optional? Can all courses be part of either must course or technical elective, or can there be any other type of courses? Are there other type of courses here? Or all the courses are either must or technical elective. There is no third type of courses. You know your program well, better than me. In my time, we had to take must courses, technical elective, and there were some non-technical electives, which we call as social electives. Do you people have to take some social electives? Okay, so in your case, it is mandatory. In my case, it's optional. Because there is some courses which are neither must nor technical elective, but third category. So let's, in your case, it is mandatory. Is it overlapping or disjoint? A course can be both. A particular course can be must course as well as technical elective at the same time. Or a course is only one of them. It will be and. There is a possibility that a must course is must course for some group of students, for some program. And that must course can be a technical elective for some other group of students. Belonging to some other degree program. So there is a possibility. In that case, it will be and. So it is a overlapping specialization. It's not disjoint. Right? Let's think about any other specialization where we can find different other types. Okay, one more I can think about. Okay, what kind of specialization it is? Is it mandatory or is it optional? Why? All the set of vehicles, are they heavy two-wheelers, four-wheelers, or can there be any other type of vehicles? There is a possibility. In some part of the world, there are three-wheelers as well. From where I came from, there are three-wheelers, very nice three-wheelers. So it is optional. So that means not all vehicles are part of subclasses. What about AND and OR? Is it disjoint or overlapping? Is it OR or AND? A vehicle can be heavy vehicle at the same time four-wheeler? Is it? Okay, if you say so. I don't know much about that. I thought heavy vehicles are like trucks and buses which have so many wheels, more than four wheels. Yeah, if we are defining heavy vehicles which has more than four wheels, which is used to carry more than 6-8 people, something like that, in that case it's OR. But if you have any other definition, then it can be AND. According to my understanding, it should be OR. But if you say so, it can be AND. Again, your assumptions are important. Right? So what should I write here? Yeah. No. But it doesn't matter. Even if there is an AND possible here, even if this AND is not possible here, it's still a AND. Because for part of that, it is AND. Even if not for all the subclasses. Right, so what should we write? AND? Okay. Any other examples you can think about specializations? Okay, now we have a background music as well. Any other nice examples you can think about? Yeah. Alcohol. Okay. Beverages. I'm teaching a similar course in another group and they came up with the same example. Alright, now you have to help me. I cannot fill many of the part. I am a teetotaler, so let's see. Okay, so what kind of beverages are there? We have soft drinks or carbonated drinks. We can make that. And we have milk-based drinks, right? Shakes and all those kind of things, smoothies, etc. And then alcoholic what else? Any other? There can be many actually. Yeah. Non-carbonated drinks where we have lemonade etc. including water. There can be lots of. What kind of specialization it is? Is it mandatory? There are any other types of drinks also? I'm sure. In some part of the world, there must be something else also. So it is optional. That's correct. Is it and or? Disjoint or overlapping? A non-carbonated drink can be a milk-based drink. A particular drink can be milk-based at the same time non-carbonated. So it can come into two categories, right? So it is and, right? So this is another one. Let's take a break and then we will continue. shall we start? Alright, so before the break, we were discussing about the specialization and we saw different type of specialization. Let's see this example. So, we have seen it before also. It's mandatory as well as or. That means a staff member must be, but because it is or, either full-time or part-time. So, a staff member cannot be both because it is or, it's not and. And because it is mandatory, so a staff member must be a member of one of the subclass. Alright, suppose if it is optional and or, which of the statement is correct in that case? It's again or, so a staff member can be part of only one of the subclass, but now it's optional. So there is a possibility that there are staff members who are neither full-time nor part-time, something else. And that's why a member of the staff may be either full-time or part-time. Which of these is true? A reader could be both student and staff. Is it true? This is the reader and we have made two subclasses, student and staff. Can a reader be both student and staff? What do you think? Yes, because here it is and, right? So the first is true. A reader can belong to both student and at the same time staff subclass. A student could be taught and research. We have student here and student are again categorized into taught student and research student. Here see this specialization, it is mandatory. That means every student must be part of some subclass. It's or, that means it's disjoint. So a student can be either this or this. Must be actually either this or this. So a student could be taught and research. Is it true or not in that case? Yes or no? No, right? A student can be only one of these subclasses. Every reader is a member of staff. Every reader is a member of staff? No. First of all, it's optional. Every reader is not even member of either student or staff. There may be some reader which are not part of any one of them. So that's not true. A student is always a research student. It's not true either, right? Because a student can be taught student also. Which of these is true? Now I'm not going to help you. Tell me the first one. A research student is a subclass of staff. Yeah, not directly, but indirectly, right? So finally, it is a superclass. It will inherit from the reader. Research student, no. Research student is a subclass of staff. See here, research student is here, staff is here. Is there a subclass relationship here? No, it's a normal relationship. It's not is a type of relationship. So research student is not a subclass of staff. Research student is a subclass of student and indirectly reader. Staff is a superclass of research student. That's not true either. Staff may supervise taught students. Can staff, supervisors taught students? No, because this relationship is only with one of the subclass. It's not with all the student. And that's why actually we make the subclasses. We usually make the subclasses when one of the subclass should have any data member which is unique to that subclass, or a subclass should have a relationship with some other entities. If these two are not there, there is no need to make the subclasses. So either there should be data members specific to the subclasses, or if there is no data member, then in that case it should have some relationship somewhere. Then only the meaning of making the subclasses comes. Otherwise it's just dividing, because when we will see how to convert it into relational model, then you can see as there are more subclasses, you may end up with more tables. That means more table joining later on. Right? So we just make it when it is absolutely necessary. A research student must be supervised by up to 3 staff members. It is here. A research student is supervised by minimum 1 and maximum 3. So instead of star, if you know the specific number, you can write like this in the relationships. And a staff member can supervise minimum 0 and maximum many research students. This is the explanation. We already talked about so much about this example. So let's move forward. This was just part of a big ER diagram where we had normal constructs from the ER diagram, plus we have specialization hierarchy. Because a class is divided into 2 subclass, and one of the subclass is again divided into subclasses. These are other examples we have seen, and as you can see, one of the subclass doesn't have its attribute, but still it makes sense to make this subclass because it has some relationships. And this also has some other relationship with some other entity type. Here it is mandatory, or so a owner must be private owner or business owner. And this is or, that means a owner can belong to only one of the subclass. Again, there is another specialization. You can see, I don't think any more explanation is required here. Now here see, there is something special which we haven't seen before. It's a shared subclass. Those who know about object-oriented programming, it's multiple inheritance here. So we have 2 specialization. So a particular subclass has 2 super direct superclasses, which was not the case so far. Every subclass had only 1 direct superclass. But here a subclass is inheriting from 2 superclasses. And this is a shared subclass. Because of the presence of this shared subclass, this is not called lattice. This is not called hierarchy. This is called now lattice. But that's not for you to remember. It's not important. And see here, because there is only 1 subclass, so we don't need to specify the AND and OR part, because there is only 1 subclass. So some of the members are of this and this are here. That's why it's optional. Not every manager and every salesperson is part of sales manager. So this is optional. AND and OR doesn't matter because there is only 1 subclass here. And similarly here, see here, although it's not a shared subclass, it's a normal subclass, but from this specialization we just made 1 subclass. Usually we saw many of them here. So some of them we made a new group, assistant secretary, and again it's optional. AND and OR is not required if there is only 1 subclass in the specialization. As I said before, subclasses are only needed if they are structurally different from their superclass. Either they should have some different set of attribute or they should be participating in some relationship different from the superclass relationships. Then only it makes sense to create subclasses. Otherwise, it's better to have a type attribute in the superclass. Imagine here, if there are no attributes here, and if they both are just empty with no attribute of its own, as well as no relationship, we can put additional attribute here, type, and with that type we can have different value. If the staff is a supervisor, we can have the value of type as S. If the staff is manager, we can have the value of type as M. And if the staff member is neither supervisor nor manager, we can have the value of type as S. Or something else, S is supervisor here. So we can handle the same thing with the additional attribute in the superclass entity. There is no need to make the subclasses. If the subclass don't have attribute of its own, or they don't have any relationship which is different from the superclass relationship. Can you make the specialization for this, and can you identify what kind of specialization it is? So we have art objects, collection of art objects, with some common set of attributes. And we are dividing into subclasses, paintings, sculptures, and textile arts. Something is wrong in the spelling here. I have written something wrong. Yeah. And the textile ones. What kind of specialization it is? Is it optional or mandatory? Please read the requirements. Are there only three type of art objects? Or does it suggest that there are other type of art objects as well? Yes or no? I can see the hands, heads shaking, but there is no yes or no. Are there only three type of art objects? No. So that means it's optional. Is it and or? It's or. It's disjoint. You can work on these two others. And if you have difficulty, we can discuss it again. Because I can see you people are not very energetic today. So, I end up giving the answers, which was not the objective of writing these questions here. So, you can work on your own. And if there is any difficulty, we can discuss it. Right? Then we have some more constructs in EER. One is aggregation, where we are having a different kind of relationship between two entity types, and that is has or is part of. For example, team is made up of players. Or a very good example of this aggregation can be and there can be other parts as well. So this is an example of aggregation, and the symbol is this. where this is a big part, whole part, and these are the constituent parts. So this is made up of these, or these are part of this, right? So this is an aggregation, and there is a stronger form of aggregation which we call as composition. And the only difference is, instead of this, we have a bolt. This is a stricter form. Composition is stricter form of aggregation. In this case, if it is a composition, then the constituent parts cannot exist without the whole. For example, see here, the example is here, campus building. It has, or the constituent parts are, here we have seen classroom, but there can be many other lecture, classrooms are lecture rooms, meeting rooms, office rooms, etc., etc. So these are the constituent part. Can these constituent part exist without the building? No. So in that case, it is a stricter form of aggregation, and that's why we are using the symbol composition. Sometimes it's difficult to differentiate between them. For example, is this an aggregation or composition? So the CPU and the monitor and the keyboard on their own cannot exist? They can exist, right? They are part, maybe separately they are not useful, but those part can exist independently, even if they are not integrated and assembled together to make up a computer. So here, according to me, it makes sense to make the aggregation here instead of composition. But there are some cases where composition is more meaningful. But sometimes it's very difficult to visualize. When you are not sure, make it an aggregation instead of composition. Okay? Because it is stricter form. We will talk about, this actually makes sense when we talk in terms of relations or tables, how they are related and how to differentiate between the two. We will discuss it again next week when we will discuss what's happening. When we will discuss logical modeling, okay, logical design, when we will convert our conceptual schema to logical schema in the form of relations with primary key and foreign keys. I had a case study, but before the case study, we need to study a little bit more. So once you make your ER diagram made up of ER construct as well as EER construct, and you think that it is final, you need to validate it. Actually, once you go through it again, you will see many of the things are not useful. You may need to delete some of the things. You may need to reconsider some of the relationships. So there are many things you need to check, and it is in detail given in chapter number 16. I have also mentioned in assignment also that you have to validate using chapter number 16. But some of those part we are discussing here, how to validate. So there are some potential problems when you are establishing the relationship between different entity types, and we call it fan traps or traps. And see here, we have projects, we have faculty, and we have staff. And faculty runs these projects, and faculty have staff members. If we see its semantic model, it will look something like this. Suppose there is one faculty, there are two projects, so these are the relationships, and the same faculty has, suppose, three staff. Can you identify which staff is working in which project? We can't. We can get from here, following this link, which faculty they are working in. But this faculty has multiple projects. So we don't know that S1 is working in with which project. And this happened because the middle entity type has one too many to this side and one too many to this side. And it's difficult to establish the relation between project and staff here. So we may think of redesigning this. Let's see one more example, then it will be clear. We have a division. We have branches. So these division operates the branches. And these division also has staff. Again, there is the same problem. If you see, if you want to know the staff SG37 works in which branch, we don't know. We can reach up to the division, but after that, that division has many branches, so we don't know this staff works in which branch. And that is again because of division has one too many this side, and division has one too many this side. And that's why it's very difficult to relate these two. Right? Just simple reorganization of this ER model can get rid of this problem. And how we can do? It's better to have division first, and division contains branch. And see now, both are, this is one too many from here and then one too many from here. Earlier we have from middle one, one too many this side and one too many this side. And now if we see, we can identify this staff has this branch, has this division. So everything can be identifiable. So please see if there is something like this in your ER model you are making. You need to get rid of that and reorganize or restructure your ER model. Similarly, there can be another type of trap. For example, we have faculty and there are staff under the faculty, and these staff may work on the project. See here, it's partial. Not every staff is leading the project. But we want to have some kind of relationship between faculty and project. And in this case, it can't be. So we cannot directly find out which project is from which faculty. And in this case, see here, because of this partial here, not every staff member is participating, and project also is partial. So not every project is participating. And that's why this link is broken. If it is total here, then all of them will have the link and we can indirectly reach to the faculty also. But in this case, it's very difficult to find out. That's true that not all projects are led by somebody. But we need to still have that information that which faculty these projects are related with. And in this case, we can't, because we need to have one more relationship here. This is another example. Maybe it will be more clear. We have branches. In the branches, we have staff, and these staffs are overseeing the property for rent. See the diagram here. Not every property is overseen. And in that case, even though no staff is overseeing them, we don't know which branch is handling this property for rent, which should not be the case. And that can be handled by adding one more relationship with branch and property for rent. So this can be handled. And this is the semantic net for removing that trap. So you need to re-examine each one of the one-to-one relationship. These are the main points you need to validate before finalizing your conceptual model. Maybe two entities related by one-to-one may be combined into one entity. It's a possibility. there may be some redundant. For example, see this example. Do you think rent is required? Client are having these property and we are also storing the lease number. Is this relationship required here? Or is it redundant? If we want to know which client is renting which property, we can just follow this. We can come to the lease number, and that lease number will be associated with the property, and we can get the information from here. So there is no need for this additional. So you need to check for redundancy sometimes. We cannot remove this part because we need to keep the lease number related with every rent property which is rented by someone. So we need to keep the lease number. That's why removing this is not advisable. But we can remove this part. But sometimes you need to be very careful when you are removing, like in this case. See here, you sometimes think these are all the females, all males, and there are children. And children has mother of relationship with females. And we may think that the father of relationship can be redundant because we can reach from here to mother, and from this married to we can reach to the father. But this may not be the case. There is some time angle involved, and the father may be not currently married to the female. So in this case it's not redundant, but it may seem so, but it's not. So you need to keep track of all these things when removing also. The last one which I gave you in the assignment also, you can validate your model with the help of transactions. The questions added at the end of the assignments are actually the transactions. And you need to know whether your ER model can answer those questions. For example, in this case, which project is staff member X working on? If this is a transaction, you can start from the staff table and you can follow this link and you can come to the faculty. But this conceptual model cannot answer that particular staff is related with which project, because this is not a good design. We discussed before, it has a fan trap, right? So we cannot have this here. But we could answer this if we remove that fan trap. It's not here actually, but we saw if we remove, we change the location of two entities. Where is it? Yeah, if we put the faculty here and project here, that will be sorted. Or let's see this example. Can you read this part? For example, read here. List details of staff supervised by a named supervisor at a branch. And see here, the supervisors are here. We can follow this specialization, this link, because it will be connected with a foreign key finally. And we can read a supervisor and we can follow this and we can get the staff member which are supervised by that particular supervisor. See the B, list details of all assistant alphabetically by name at the branch. And all the staff will have something like job. And we can have only from this table the answer of this transaction. For some of the transactions, like for example C, the C part, list the details of property available for rent at a branch along with the owner's details. So property for rent is there, but there is no owner's detail here. So we can have the property details from here. And then we can follow this relationship and we can get the owner's detail from there. So as long as there is a relationship between these two, this transaction can be handled without any problem. So the same question you need to answer in the assignment also. Whether the final conceptual model you get in the assignment can answer all those questions. If not, you have to give the suggestions what else should be added in the conceptual diagram. Okay, so a conceptual data model consists of ER diagram or EER with the supporting document containing your assumptions, etc., is to be signed off by customer, may result in number of revisions. We never come up with the fine one in the first round only. So you can use the revision control system. Version 1, version 1.1 or version 2, depending on how many changes you are doing. Now come back to this. Please read it. And please try to identify the entities, subclasses, if there is any relationship. Just little bit more patience, last 10 minutes. We can quickly make it and then we all are free to go. Just little bit more focus and then it's all over for today. Please let me know when you finish reading. Have you all read? Okay, identify some entities, whichever, whether they are subclass, superclass, whatever. Just let me know. We can figure out the relation later on. Yeah. What are the attributes of the customer? Is there any line here, anywhere which specify the... Come here. Sorry. See here. Keep a database with valuable information about its customers such as ID, name and address. So we have customer ID. We have name. We have address. I'm not going to discuss right now whether it is composite or simple atomic or whatever. You can figure out it later because our main focus is on the specialization part. Okay, any other? any other entity? Yeah. Okay, so there are employees. Is there any attributes related with employee? For employees, the second point. For employees, their department, and for institutions, the contact person name is kept. So for employee, we are keeping the department. Any other? We have 10 minutes. Quickly. Huh? Deposits. Okay. So we have fixed deposits. Is there any attributes? Fixed deposit have varying term of 1, 2, 3 years. And for fixed deposits, there are currently two payment schemes. Under the first scheme, the investor get the principal plus interest on maturity. Under the second scheme, they get principal on maturity, but interest is paid. Okay, so we have the time duration and the scheme type. Okay. Any other? What about this line? The company keeps a database with valuable information about its customers, such as this. For employees, their department, and for institutions, the contact person name is kept. Institution is also can be a customer, it seems. Or there is one more sign somewhere here. The company accepts fixed deposits from general public, institutions, and its own employees. So it seems that the customers are either employees or institutions or general public. So we have institutions here. And it can be a individual, general public. And for institution, we are keeping the contact person name. For individual, nothing is specified here. All right. Okay. About the fixed deposit, we have done. And it's saying company also raises debentures. It's some types of investments. The debenture may be either convertible or non-convertible. Debentures are issued for a period of 1, 2, or 3 years. Okay. What it is about? Can you read this part? Investment is identified by its identification number. The fourth line, what does it mean? It seems there is an investment superclass, and then there are fixed deposit, debentures, and different type of investment schemes. So most probably we have and for investment we have investment ID. Here it is clear we have a specialization. Customers can invest on any type of investment, fixed deposit, debentures, or shares. So it seems there are three types of investments. What about this? The total amount a particular customer has invested is kept in the database. So customers are investing on these investments, and the total amount invested by every customer is kept. How we are going to specify it? So customers are invests and we are keeping the Is it clear what we are doing? What are the attributes of debentures and share? The type of debenture and the time period. Whether it is convertible or non-convertible. And for shares, two kind of shares, equity and preferred. Only thing remaining is figuring out what kind of specialization they are. Are they mandatory or optional, or they are disjoint or overlapping? What about this? For this particular company, is it mandatory or is it optional? Are there any other type of customers? Or all the customers are either one of these. It's mandatory in this case. Is it and or? A customer can belong to more than one subclass. A customer can be individual at the same time institution. It's not possible. So it is or. What about here? Investment for this company, does this company offer any other kind of investment, or are there only three types of investments? Mandatory or again. Please figure out the cardinalities here. That's the last point. Last 30 seconds. A customer can invest in minimum how many, maximum how many? But then that person will not be the customer for the company. One or many. Otherwise that person will not be called the customer. If that person is a customer, that means they are investing. An investment can be invested by minimum how many customer, maximum how many? One too many or zero too many? But then why they are offering that investment if nobody is investing? Okay. But there is a possibility of zero too many also. But then the question is, the company will stop offering that investment if no one is picking on it.